You know, this morning we're going to continue our theme of grow. You guys been enjoying our theme of grow?
Yeah.
You know, it's encouraging this morning to be together. Even though we got, 280 something marrieds at the retreat, it's good to be together. And this morning we're going to be talking about growing in our faith. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Growing in our faith together. And it's been a great service so far. We've been singing songs about faith, about our faith to God, and about His faithfulness towards us. And this morning, that's really the goal, is that we would all leave here just inspired by the faith that we have and the faithful God that we worship. Amen. We're going to be talking about growing in our faith. We've sang some awesome songs, indescribable, right? You place the stars in the sky, you know them by name, God. We sang, great is thy faithfulness, right? God is a faithful God. And one of my favorites, which we just sang, our God, he is alive, amen? And our God, he is alive. And he's with us right now. And he's with us, he hears us singing, he hears us sing out our hearts to God, and He is alive right now. Amen. Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Our God is alive, and He's seeking to build our faith. This morning, the title of our message is Faith in Action. Amen. And I wholeheartedly believe that today, this morning, God is going to build our faith through the Scriptures. Before we dive in here to our sermon, let's have a word of prayer together. Father God, you are a powerful God. You know, even the recent snowstorms we had, God, it's just a total just display of your power, God. That although we have a plan in the week, we have things we want to do, God, that you can shut that down with a snowstorm. God, we this morning, God, we just want to humble our hearts before you, God. God, we're all coming from different places this morning, different walks of life, different weeks, different times in life, God. But we all know that we need you, Jesus, and we need faith, God. And I pray this morning that you'll just remove me and Charles and that, Jesus, that you will just speak to us this morning, God. Whatever message you have for the Garden State Church and for those with us today, that your message will be preached, God. We love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, earlier this semester, the start of the 2017 semester, I was praying for God to lead me for something to grow in specifically. And I felt like I was just starting to go through the motions again. You know what I'm talking about? Where you just kind of wake up, you have your quiet time. But as you're reading the Bible, you're seeing all these life-changing stories, and you're like, where is that in my life? Right? And you're just kind of frustrated, like, I worship this God of the Bible, but I'm not seeing those things happen in my life. You know what I'm talking about? And I was praying to God, just praying, God, lead me to what you want me to study out so I can see the Bible happen in my life. And isn't that what we want? Right? We want the Bible to be in our lives. We got the same gospel message, the same Holy Spirit, and the same Bible. No difference in our lives, right? And as I was praying that prayer and just pleading with God, really, really a frustrating time, you know what God led me to? Led me to studying out biblical faith. What is biblical faith? And that's really the question that I'm going to talk about this morning. What is faith? Right? We hear it all the time. Maybe not in always a church context, but we hear this word, faith, right? And let me tell you, studying out faith and kind of going on this journey since, you know, this past September, rediscovering faith, honestly, has been exhausting for me. It's been challenging to the core. It's humbled me. It's made me question my own faith in a lot of ways. But let me tell you this, it has been the most inspiring time of my life. And I have seen God move in ways that I just get on my knees and say, there is a God. He is alive. And this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about, is faith. And so that's our first question. What is faith? And we all know Hebrews 11:1, right? It says, now faith is being confident. It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And I think sometimes we can glance over the weight of what that means. Right? It says that faith is confidence. assurance about what we can't see. You know, some other translations say it's being certain. Is that easy? No, that takes some work, right? To be certain of something I can't see, that does not come easy, right? That's a high calling. No matter how long you've been a follower of Jesus, that's a high calling. To be certain of what you cannot see. Faith as defined in the Bible is being certain. It's having assurance. And, you know, this is really, if we're just being honest, this is opposite from the way the world thinks. Right? The world says, well, let's investigate the Bible and God before putting into practice the scripture, right? Before I do any of that, let me make sure that this is real. You know, the world says, you know, before you go buy that house or rent that property, make sure you visit it. Make sure you picture yourself in the house. Does it have the granite countertop? Does it have the extra room? You know, make sure you go see the house, right? Make sure you see it. You ever hear the saying, believing is seeing? All right? As kids, we grew up hearing that. Believing is seeing. And the world says, you know, make sure you live with your girlfriend before you get engaged, right? Make sure you try this thing out. Don't risk it. Make sure you really know. Don't just jump into it. The world says, don't talk to that stranger. They might hurt you, right? Stranger danger, right? There's some truth to that. But I'm saying this is in our culture, guys. Whoa. Don't step out on faith. You don't know what they're going to do to you. Because we've been hurt, right? We all take pain into this room every Sunday. But the world suppresses faith every day. You try to get up every day. You try to battle, be a faithful person, and the world is just hitting you, trying to stop you from being faithful. And it just makes sense that this is such a battle for us to live out Hebrews 11, because we live in a world where faith is suppressed, right? You know, Hebrews 11:6, this is challenging. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. You know, when you read Hebrews 11, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's this hall of faith, right? And you read about, you know, Noah building the ark when there's really no sign of a storm. Probably looks crazy. Right? You read about Abraham going to a place that he had no idea where he was going. That doesn't make sense, right? You know, you hear about Sarah having a baby at 90 years old. Does that make sense? And let me tell you what I get out of Hebrews 11 every time I read it. You know what it is? Biblical faith does not make sense to the world. It just doesn't. And I think God's trying to get a message to us of just stop thinking the way the world thinks. Do you think in a way that requires a God? Right? But that's what, when I read that passage, I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. Right? It just doesn't make sense. Faith is not logical in the world's standards. And we battle with that every day. Biblical faith just doesn't make sense sometimes. For Jesus, it didn't always make sense, right? You know, loving your enemy, does that make sense? No. The world says, what are you talking about? Right? Jesus brought in this upside down kingdom, serving the outcasts of society, people you don't even know. Does that make sense? Taking time out of your day to do that? Being born from a virgin, does that make sense? No, but it happened, right? So I think all throughout history, God's been trying to get a message across to us of, it's about me. Your faith is in me. It's not circumstance, right? It's not how long you've been a Christian. It's not what people in the world say. It's about who I am. That's the name of God, because I am what I am, right? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Do you guys want to grow in your faith this morning? I'm with you, and this is, honestly, I'm preaching to myself this morning as well. But, you know, here's the deal, guys. As Christians, we're nuts. We are nuts, and I embrace that. I'm okay to be nuts in the world we live in, but can you just say that to yourself? I'm nuts. I am crazy. Wild. Come on, Charles. And you know why? It's because as Christians, we live by faith and not by sight. That's our standard. We live by faith, not by sight. Believing is not seeing for the Christian. Believing, we come to believe through the scriptures and through who Jesus is, right? And yes, there's other things in creation that leave us without excuse, but why we believe in God is because of the Bible. That's it. But I think in order to really know what faith is, we also need to know what are some common misconceptions of faith. Amen? Common misconceptions of faith. And I think this will help so we can really understand how to have great faith. But let's talk about what faith is not. Here's one thing. Faith is just believing that there is a God. Faith is just believing that there is a God. And the Bible says even the enemy believes that. Satan's got you right where he wants you, if that's your definition of faith. Of, well, I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus is real. I even believe he resurrected. And Satan says, yeah, I do too. I'm not stupid. Right? But he deceives us to think that just believing, and really you're no different than the enemy if that's all you got in your life, that God is real. But doesn't it make sense that that's where Satan wants us? Let me get people to think they're a Christian, think they believe in God, think they have faith, and then nothing will happen. And he's like, I got you right where I want you. Another one, faith is not a feeling or a moment of all this prayer. Oh, I believe in you, God. You're doing miracles in my life. I'm faithful right now in this moment. I'm feeling faithful. It's not a feeling. Just like love is not a feeling. You don't tell your husband or wife, I feel like I love you. You know, I just woke up this morning and I was like, I love you. Your wife would be like, oh my God, what is going on? We should have gone to the marriage retreat. I don't know what's going on. You know, here's another one. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not wishful thinking. You know, the Bible's definition of hope, study this out on your own time. Our version of hope is not the Bible's version of hope, right? Faith is not hoping something will happen or praying, God, if you could, you know, if you could please work this out. God, if you're there, God, I hope you can change this for me. No, faith is expecting. It's expecting God to show up. And as you're going about your week, you're just excited. You're like, man, God is going to show up today. Yeah. Right? That's who God is. For the person of faith, the word if is just not in their vocabulary. It just doesn't exist biblically. You know, faith is just not hoping. It's not wishful thinking. It's not saying, well, I hope the Giants do better next season. Sorry, Joey Casper, if you're out there. It's not just saying, you know, I hope that the Jets might one year actually get to the playoffs and not be back and forth.
Right.
Right, that's wishful thinking. When we think of hope, we think of like, I hope this happens, which is wishy-washy. But the Bible's definition of hope is ironclad. This is gonna happen. I have faith in God because of who he is, who he shows me he is in the Bible, amen? Faith is also not circumstantial. Faith is not putting confidence in yourself. It's not circumstance. It's just removing yourself in any work of the flesh and saying, there is a God, and he is who I'm putting my faith in. Faith is putting all of your confidence in God. And this is something that we got to nail down this morning, guys. We got to really nail this down, that faith is putting your faith in who? In God. And sometimes we throw ourselves in that. Well, it's God and it's me, right? You know. No. It's just God. And honestly, you're going to be a more faithful person if you just get yourself out. Yeah. If you remove yourself. Right? And so, turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 10, verse 26. Mark 10, Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verse 26 and verse 27. You know, this is one of my favorite verses. Right now, I got it on my phone as my wallpaper because I just need it, man. Going about my day, I need to see this. So verse 26, it says, "The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.'" Do you believe that this morning? That all things are possible with God? All things, not on your own, not putting faith in yourself or circumstances, but because you have a God who's proved himself through Jesus, amen, all things are possible with God. And we just got to take a moment sometimes and think about who the God is we're putting our faith in. We're putting our faith in a God who is the designer of biology, in chemistry, and who has the moon in the perfect place and the sun in the perfect place. And if it was feet just the other way, we're out of here. We're worshiping a God who resurrected a man to life. We're serving a God who parted a sea. We're serving a God that the odds of this design of creation happening again is like the odds of you winning the $600 billion lotto every day since the beginning of creation. That's how designed you are by God. We live in a Goldilocks zone. We're spinning right now in a perfect zone. And you know what scientists are saying, even atheistic scientists? They're saying it looks like this was all made for us. Transparent atmosphere. We have the perfect perch to study our universe. That's the God we worship. Amen. That builds my faith. Amen. Science and faith, they're not in conflict. The world wants to tell you that. They work together. Science needs a God. Yeah. Science needs a God, but we got to remind ourselves of that sometimes. And then we can really get to a place through scripture, through creation, all things are possible with God. Yeah. When we really see who God is. Do you believe this scripture this morning? Do you really believe this? And if you do, is your life showing it? If Jesus was to follow you around for a week, is he going to see, oh yeah, he believes all things are possible. She believes all things are possible. You know, you don't have to turn there, but this is another great scripture. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Doesn't that just like knock you upside the head? Like, greater things than Jesus did? What? Raise your hand if you wrestle with believing that. Like, what? Let's be honest, right? But here's the key part about this scripture, guys. It says, whoever believes in me, right? He's saying, first step to doing even greater things is you got to have faith in who I am, what I can do, not circumstantial faith, not about you. You're going to do even greater things if you have faith in who I am. That's the arrow, the path to even greater things. That's a promise of Jesus. Check you out. God says, you're going to do even greater things. Because I've gone to the Father and I've given you my Spirit. Doesn't that encourage you? It's saying we got to put our faith in God and in Him alone. But I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you believe the way the Bible says you need to believe? Really think about that for yourself. Do you believe? Do you really believe that God can use your life to change the world? And I have to ask myself this question every morning, every day. But you know what? If anything is worth a fight, faith is worth a fight, right? You know, these scriptures, they're challenging, but man, they're worth fighting for. Man, they're worth fighting for believing. You know, faith, fighting for your faith is the only eternal investment you can make in this life. Does that make sense, guys? Everything else is going to go away. And, you know, I think in a room this large, I think too many of us put more fight, put more fervor and passion into things that are going to perish. We fight for that advance in our career. We fight for that relationship. We fight for people to like us when we don't even really like them. It's like we try to get the right clothes, you know, walk the walk to like have people like us that we don't even care really. We fight for these things. We fight for the image. Teens, we fight to look good in high school. We fight to not look weird or crazy. When I'm telling you, senior year, when you're out graduating, everyone's gonna be like, what did we just do for 4 years? I don't even care now. I'm not going to see you guys again. We fight for meaningless nonsense. And yet God is there like, I'm right here. How about fighting for your faith? How about fighting for a world-changing faith? Eternity-altering, life-changing faith. That makes an eternal impact. And honestly, I think too many of us are just trying to put God into our lives. Here's my week, God. Here's my work hours. Here's what I got going out. I'm going to the gym, hanging out with these friends. Then I'll have my quiet time. Then if I have time, I'll share my faith. I'll serve the poor. I'll go to a D time. Just placing God into our lives. And God says, I'm trying to build your faith. You're just not letting me. Yeah. You're not letting me get in there, Mark. I'm trying to build your faith. I can't do that if you're just chilling and going about your life. And then people say, oh, there's not a God. He's like, how do you know? Have you tried living out scripture? Have you tried believing in Jesus? Have you studied creation? It's garbage, those lies. And God says, are you just trying to like put me as a side thing? Or am I your life? Colossians says Christ is your life, right? Is Christ your life? You know, sometimes we just got to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness to us. Amen. God sent his son to die for you on that cross. And that's what helps us to remember the power of faith. It's the power of the gospel. Faith comes from the gospel. So if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not in the gospel, forget these scriptures. Forget having faith. Does that make sense? Right, we all know that. Romans 10, faith comes from hearing what? The message, right? And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Jesus leads to faith. And I just want to end my part right here with just a faith story. That's funny. Satan's like totally going for us right now. All right, anyways, I'm just going to tell a story. So I was walking on campus one day. All right. And I was battling with this very thing, with God, help me to be faithful. And I said, God, I believe there's someone on this campus that wants to know you. And I'm walking to the student center. I see this guy. I'm like, oh, man, I should share with this guy. Walk by him at least 10 strides. And I'm like, you're stupid. You prayed this prayer. You believe that there's someone out there. So I turn around. Get his attention, which was Vinny over here. He was just praying for a communion. And, you know, he studied the Bible, became a Christian, went through some really tough things to do that. And he's your brother in Christ. Amen. And I was last year. And then it's not done yet. Because God wants to build your faith. And then Vinny said, you know what? My youth group is lost. They don't know this stuff. And so he calls his friend Josh. And he says, Josh, we got to study the Bible. Him and Matt study the Bible. Josh becomes a Christian. Joshua Demon Tulak, who's playing the drums at a retreat last week. And I'm like, this is awesome, man. I got a worship band now, man. Just keep sharing your faith. It's not over yet. And then Vinny says, I got another Josh. Josh Squared. And he was like, we gotta get this guy too. So he said, all right, let's start studying the Bible. And this past weekend, Josh got baptized at the retreat. Right? That builds my faith. That builds my faith. Here's the thing. I was about to walk past Vinny. I was in the student center ready to go. And all those guys just gone. Not in my life. All right, Charles is going to come up. He's going to talk about how faith requires action. Amen. And that story is we're trying to transition in that point. Amen? So let's give it up for Charles as he talks about faith needs action. Amen.
Ooh, how you guys doing? All right. So my name is Charles. If you guys don't know, I'm a student at William Patterson University, and it's one of the best schools in the country. But I'm really excited, and I think what really built my faith was walking on campus the other day, March 8th, and that was actually... All right. That was actually the day 5 years ago that I got met to become a Christian. You know, I was walking on campus, and it was this intersection on campus where Rob Novak came and shared his faith with me. And I remember just standing there thinking, wow, because of his faith, I'm here today. Because of faith, someone's faith, all you guys are here today, right? And it's just so inspiring to see what faith can do. But again, faith can't be amazing without action.
Come on.
You just need action. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14.
All right.
And we're going to look at Peter and his encounter with Jesus while they were on the sea and on the boat. And they had an encounter with Jesus. So Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22.
Come on, Charles.
It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" All right, so we see here, right, that the disciples are on the boat. They have an encounter with Jesus. And we want to focus here on verse 27 to look at Peter. So Jesus says immediately to Peter, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." How many of us here struggle with fear?
Come on.
All right. We all have fears, right?
Yep.
And what's amazing, what I looked at in the Bible, was that the phrase "don't be afraid" and "to not fear," I got a little estimated count, and it's in there about 370 times in the Bible, where it says, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." And it's like God's pretty much telling us that, hey, don't be afraid. Let's not be afraid of the circumstances and the things that we're going to be going through.
Come on, bro.
And why does God put so much emphasis on fear? Why is fear one of the biggest things? It's because if we live in fear, what happens is it paralyzes us. When we live in fear, it paralyzes us. It keeps us stuck. You kind of don't know where to go. And, you know, it keeps us in somewhere when God really wants to take us to a different place in our faith. And we see that this happens to Peter here, right? So fear is a really big thing. And so we got to ask ourselves, what are we afraid of? We got to identify what keeps us in fear. Because if we don't know what we are afraid of, we're never going to see the results of faith.
Right.
Because results of faith come from overcoming those fears.
Right.
And we see that Peter has that experience here. And so we're going to look more in depth with Peter. So let's look at verse 28.
Come on.
So Peter, he sees Jesus on the lake, and he says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Man, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm a very logical person, all right? And I got to have a formula before I do something, all right? I got to have A plus B equals this, and then I'll make a decision. Or, you know, if I got this much money in my bank account, you know, okay, then I'll do it. You know, right. I try to look for a lot of security. I look for a formula. Right. It's just something for me has to make sense before I do it, right? But what's amazing about Peter is that he says, Lord, if it's just you calling me, I'm going to come out on the water. He didn't ask Jesus, well, Jesus, can you just make this? You know, a lot of times we pray for God to make things clear. Ain't that true? God, just make things clear. All Peter had was, Jesus, you called me to do it, so I'm just going to go do it, right? It's amazing because faith also requires not even knowing if there's clarity on something.
Right?
Because your faith is saying that I'm sure that when I step out of this boat, something amazing is going to happen.
Right.
And that's all Peter needed. All he needed to know was, Jesus, is it you calling me?
Right.
And when God is calling you to make a decision to be faithful, is that enough? Mm. Is it enough to just read a scripture in the Bible and to see that that's what it says and to step out on faith just because that's just what the Bible says? That's incredible faith, to just be able to read the scriptures and just act on that alone.
Right.
See, adventurous people are willing to make decisions based off the word of God itself. Because I tell you what, there's going to be times where you're going to text that brother or that sister. There's going to be times where you're trying to find somebody for help and they ain't going to answer their phone, right? There's going to be times like that. I don't know, but we have if you have an iPhone today, one thing that was really amazing to me is that you can actually see if someone actually read your text message, right? And what happens is when somebody reads your text message and you haven't seen them get back to you, it's like, okay, when are they actually gonna get back? Especially if it's something deep, like, yo, I need some help. You done read my text message and I see that you read it at 10:55, it's 2 days later and it's like, what's going on, right? That's what I'm saying, it's gonna be times where people aren't gonna be there for you. And all you have is your faith. There's going to be times where that's all you have to hold on to.
Right.
And so for Peter, he just knew that it was just him and God. And he was able to step out on faith. And guess what? Peter wasn't the smartest guy. He didn't have an extraordinary education.
Right.
He didn't go to William Patterson University. Right?
You're right.
You know, he made a lot of mistakes. I mean, Peter did some things that make you think, like, what? How could you do it? Peter, what is going on with you, bro? But guess what? God still used him to change the world because of his faith. Because you know what? Faith doesn't take talent. You don't need to be the most talented person. You don't need to be the most tallest person or the smartest. Faith, anybody can have faith and make an impact.
Come on.
And so if God used Peter, he can use you as well. Because guess what? Peter walked on the water.
Mm.
He did it. Jesus and Peter were the only people ever to do it.
Wow.
And so if God used Peter, God can use you as well. Matthew 14, verse 29. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. And if there's one thing from what I'm talking about today that I really want you to get, is this part here, is that in order to really have an amazing faith into the action that you need to take is that you have to be a risk taker.
Come on, Charles.
Who here is a risk taker? Wow, we got some awesome risk takers in here. Awesome, right? But is taking a risk easy?
No.
Absolutely not, right? Because what happens is you're totally putting everything you know to the side. You're taking a situation that doesn't make sense and you're still taking a step out on faith. But in order to really have a great faith, we have to be willing to take risk. And this morning, are you a risk taker? Are you willing to go out of your comfort zone to do something extraordinary because you believe that God can do it?
Come on.
You know, it's difficult to take risk. We embrace comfortability. That's just how our world is. We embrace being comfortable. You know, I just like where I'm at. But I tell you what. What world changer has ever changed the world being comfortable?
Come on.
I don't think anyone has ever changed the world doing that. Only when we hear about the amazing stories, I mean, Martin Luther King and Jesus, all these guys, man, they got outside their comfort zone. And they made an impact that still makes an impact on this world today. And so in verse 29, Peter saw that, man, I can do this. I can walk on water. And he made things happen. But guess what? There's some other people as part of this story that's not mentioned. But there were disciples on the boat.
Right.
And what happened was there were disciples in the boat watching Peter do extraordinary things. So the question we gotta ask ourselves is, are we the ones watching from a distance, or are we the ones jumping out on water?
Come on, bro.
Because a lot of times it's easy to be in the comfort zone and watch extraordinary, and other people do extraordinary things, but yet we still are in the boat. And we just watch incredible things happen, but yet we haven't experienced it ourselves. But it's when we take that risk, when we step out on faith, we get to see the extraordinary things happen. We get to join those people that do the extraordinary things. I'm sure all of us have people in our lives that we really look up to in their faith. That you look at them and you're just like, wow, you're awesome, amazing. What's amazing is that we can actually join them.
Come on.
We can actually take hands with them and say, you know what? I want to imitate your faith.
Come on, bro.
I want to join in what you've been experiencing with God. And which one are you this morning? Are you stepping out on faith, or are you still in the boat? Mm. And so I want us to look at some practicals real quick, but I think one of the things we really have to identify is what is my fear? Mm. Really think about that, because we have a lot of people in this room, but we got to see, what are we most fearful about?
All right.
We got to identify that, and we got to tackle that, because you're only a step away from a miracle. Mm. You're only a step away from a miracle.
Wow, great point, bro.
If you overcome that one fear. You know, Peter, he dealt with fear. He walked on water, but did he walk on water for a long time? He didn't. He started sinking. Lord, save me. Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Mm. And he started looking at the winds and the waves and the things he was fearful of.
Right.
And what happens is, a miracle can't even be complete unless you're keeping your eyes focused on Jesus. You know, for Peter, he had it. He walked on water. But his faith got distracted by the winds and the waves. So we have to identify our fears and overcome them and imagine what God can do
when those
things are overcome.
Come on, bro.
You know, I wanted to share a story real quick about us taking a risk at William Patterson. So this is a really inspiring story for me. So for a long time, our Willie P group was trying to create get a club on campus, and we got denied, like, multiple times. And so it was just really wrecking our faith in so many ways, you know. And, you know, one of the things that really destroys our faith is discouragement, you know, and fear and those things. And so we were just feeling discouraged, and we're just like, man, how can we make an impact on this campus if we don't have that access to becoming a club? And so we just prayed a lot, you know. We got all the disciples together, and we started praying and really begging God to open up a door. And so the idea came up to, instead of just being a Christian club on campus, that we want to bring Hope Worldwide to be part of it. Amen. And so we were thinking, okay, we're going to be a Christian club that is really, really focused on serving the poor and serving the homeless, right? And so we ended up putting in the paperwork for it and everything. We got the constitution for it. And it was amazing what God did.
Right.
We went through the whole process, met with the SGA, and they approved our club for being Club Hope on campus. Yeah. Isn't that encouraging? I mean, it went from, you guys can clap for that. It's exciting. And so what's amazing about that is that we're now Club Hope on campus. And then what even happened after that was, we ended up having our discussions and our Bible talks, and we also had disciples from other campuses contact us and say, hey, how do you start your Hope Club? And so one of the schools that ended up just getting approved for a Hope Club themselves is Boston University. And so they contact us and said, man, we want to do this. And so they went out, they got approved. And it was so amazing because their story, I mean, they were so blown away at Boston that the guy who approved them invited them all out to his house to have barbecue. and to hang out and want to know more about the clubs. It's amazing. And so I just want to talk about these other two events here. So Jam Quest here. On the bottom left, so this is a basketball tournament that we did at William Patterson last semester, and we raised hundreds of dollars for kids in Africa to go to school. And so we were able to do a Jam Quest event, which is done throughout college campuses throughout the United States as well. And it was amazing how God also allowed us to do that to change lives through hope. And up on the top right, you see a little bit in the transparency, it says the beacon, right? Oh, you know about the beacon. Yes. Were you a writer? You just knew about the newspaper. Willie P. Yes, Willie P. alum. So, yeah, clap it up. But, best school in the country. So the Beacon, right? One of the biggest papers on campus. And actually, people outside of campus actually read this paper as well. And so we ended up getting two articles written about our Hope Club. And it got so much exposure that when you look down here on the right, bottom right, this here is, we did an event where we actually serve an oasis in Patterson. And it's a haven for women and children. And so we went there just a couple weeks ago. As you see, there's a few disciples here. And I got connected with the Public Relations Club on campus. And so the Public Relations Club is a club for public relations majors to, you know, get involved and get internships. And so my professor ended up finding out about the club through the paper. That she was so inspired by what we were doing that she said, I want to take part in it. So our professor comes up to me, we talk, and she's like, can you please give me the list of events you guys are gonna do? And so she ends up coming to the Oasis event, right here, she's on the bottom right, Mrs. Beretta, and she was so inspired.
Amen.
You know, there was actually one time during the event where she actually almost choked up crying because she saw how much we were like just serving. And for her to be there to serve, it was inspiring. And so she came and, you know, and we have all the couple members from the Public Relations Club. And so it's been amazing what God has been able to do with the Hope Club on campus.
Come on, bro.
Because it's just faith.
Come on.
Just believing. We had no idea. I tell you what, we were really focused on the waves and the wind, and we were just discouraged. But it just took a little bit more faith to never give up.
Amen.
And God really blessed it in an incredible way. And so I want to encourage you guys. I don't know where you're at in your faith this morning. Never ever give up.
Come on,
on
bro.
Your faith. And I want to encourage those who are here who've been fighting, who've been wrestling. Well, there were moments where you just wanted to give up. I want you guys to give yourselves a hand because you're still here this morning.
Come on, bro.
I want you guys to be excited that you still have your faith and you're still holding on. No matter what the world tells you.
Come on, bro.
No matter what the world is putting in your mind. That you're still here because of your faith. And the young group here, we're inspired by that. I want you guys to know that from the bottom of my heart. Your guys' faith inspires me so much. And I want us to end off here with this passage. Because, you know, Mark was saying, faith is worth it. And I think the scripture really puts everything in perspective.
Come on.
1 Peter 1, verse 8 to 10. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
Mm.
For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is such an inspiring passage. It's because, guys, every act of faith that you do is leading you closer and closer to heaven. That heaven is the main goal. Every faith decision you make every day is not a waste. It's not in vain. Every decision that you make is never a failure if it's a decision of faith.
Right.
It's never a failure. Because when you decide to be faithful, it always pleases God, no matter what the result is.
Right.
But the main result, what we're trying to get to, is to get to heaven. That is the main goal, to be with God forever, to be with God for an eternity.
Amen.
And so I want to leave you guys with this challenge for this week. I want you to take a step of faith this week and do something you've just never done before. Just think of something you've just never done, that something that's just on the back of your mind that you know, man, if I just take a step of faith here, it's tough, I don't know, but if you just think about that one thing, this week, and come back next week with a story from the decision that you made.
Amen.
Because my faith, I believe that if you really take a step of faith in that area, wherever it is for you, that God's going to do something incredible.
Come on, bro.
And you're going to have a story to share with somebody. Just take, what is one thing? Think about that one thing, and let's really go after it and see what God can do to change our lives.
Amen.
And so, guys, we pray and we hope that this time was faithful for you, exciting, and to know that faith is gonna help you get to heaven, that faith requires action, and when we do that, we will see God do extraordinary things.
Come on.
things beyond our imagination, immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. So let's do that, and let's have some amazing faith stories
come on
in the near future. And to God be the glory. Amen.